Destructive weather is causing new problems for many, including farmers, plus older people with student debt, and how to get frequent flyer tickets when you're not quite sure how many miles you'll need. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Thunderstorms and tornadoes hit the Midwest and Great Plains over Memorial Day weekend, and parts of Arkansas and Oklahoma are watching out for what could be record flooding. That bad weather is yet another piece of bad news for farmers. Marketplace's Michael Lipkin has some numbers.
Farmers in the Midwest are falling behind on planting corn and soybeans, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Soybean planting is down 28% compared to the average planting rate over the past 5 years. Corn is down 31%. In some states like Illinois, it's down by more than 50%. The Ag Department says analysts are now concerned about how much land will go through what's called a prevented planting scenario. That's when farmers get an insurance payout if they're not able to plant any crops. The severe flooding is part of this delay. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the past 12 months have been the wettest on record since 1895, and a disaster aid bill which would have helped farmers has been stuck in Congress for months. The U.S.-China trade war hasn't helped either, with farmers selling fewer crops abroad. The Trump administration announced $16 billion in farm aid last week.
Marketplace's Michael Lipkin. The bigger market story this morning may be less stocks and more about bonds. A key benchmark for U.S. interest rates has not been this low for more than a year and a half. The 10-year Treasury yield is below 2.3%, in fact, 2.29% at the moment. Drew Mattis is chief market strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Hi, Drew.
Hello.
We used to be talking about higher interest rates in America. That is not what we're talking about here as we get to the end of May.
You know, rates are responding to a number of things, but the main one really is the trade uncertainty with China, the risk that poses to the U.S. and the world economy. And of course, whenever there's concerns about what might go wrong in the world, people like to move into safer assets or assets they consider safer, and that would be U.S. Treasuries.
That's interesting because you did not mention the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve as a top-of-mind reason why interest rates are so low.
They have already said a long time ago that they weren't going to, you know, hike rates this year. So all that should actually already be in the market. The new news really is that, you know, the situation with China and how that's developing. And I think that's really behind the move lower in yields that we've seen so far.
Drew Mattis at MetLife Investment Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Americans owed $1.5 trillion in student debt as of December. About 20% of that is owed by those age 50 and older. This group averages more than $32,000 in that kind of debt. That's according to a recent report from the Older Persons Lobby, the AARP. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
Some borrowers took out loans to help their kids pay for college, like Roseanne Gross of Chicago. She's a 61-year-old accountant and owes $170,000 for her children's education. Her monthly payments are $2,400. That's more than her monthly expenses for housing, her car, and food combined.
I buy food for $5.45 a day, which is lunch and dinner, and basically don't shop for much else.
Some people owe money for their own educations dating back many decades, but others return to school later in life, says Mark Kantrovitz of SavingForCollege.com.
Getting a master's degree when they are just a few decades away from retirement.
This debt can upend how people save for their later years, says Lori Trawinski, co-author of the AARP paper.
Traditionally, people build up retirement assets in those years prior to retirement.
Student loan debt for people 50 and over totals more than $289 billion, a fivefold increase from 2004. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Using frequent flyer miles is getting a little like those fancy restaurants where they don't put the prices on the menu and you got to ask. It used to be if you wanted to know how many miles you'd have to use to fly from, say, Dulles to Chicago, there'd be a standard mileage chart. You'd know in advance that route would cost you, say, 20,000 miles. Increasingly these days, buying a flight in miles is like buying with dollars. You don't know till you check the specific flight and time. From time to time, we consult frequent flyer Mark Orlowski. His real job is executive director of a nonprofit called the Sustainable Endowments Institute, but his hobby is watching his cards and miles. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, David.
So people have accumulated frequent flyer miles. You know, you can consult a grid, or at least until now, you could consult a grid. If you want to fly to Europe, it'll be this many miles. That is changing?
Yes. Well, it already has changed a little bit. Delta Airlines, about 4 years ago, eliminated what they call an award chart. And Delta sort of kicked off the move to eliminate the award chart and basically make it open season to allow them to charge really anything they want when it comes to redeeming their miles for free trips.
So as the airlines move away from award tables, you don't know what your miles are worth. A little bit like miles roulette. You go online, you figure out, okay, what is it worth on this flight?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You no longer have any guidance on what the sort of lower end or the higher end might be able to fly, let's say, from New York to Los Angeles or from Los Angeles to, for example, Sydney, Australia.
So you can't control the airlines, Mark, but you can control your own behavior. How are you shifting?
Right. Well, it's about being smart. So just recently, United announced they're eliminating their award chart starting for flights after November 15th. United is now going to be picking and choosing whatever they want to charge for award flights so that it's going to be much more difficult to get a terrific value for your United miles.
So what's a frequent traveler like you to do?
Well, you know, just like in other areas of investment, you might want to diversify. People that, you know, cling to their Delta Amex cards, cling to their United Mileage Plus cards, it might be smart to put a couple other cards in your wallet because it gives you much more options.
So with that in mind, give me an example.
Sure. So if you had United miles, but you also had some Chase points, you might want to transfer your Chase points to, for example, Singapore Airlines. So, for example, I recently flew from Boston to San Francisco in very comfortable premium service business class lie flat seats. The cash price was nearly $1,000 one way, but I was able to redeem only 20,000 Singapore miles and $5 in taxes and fees to fly that flight. Whereas United, the exact same flight, everything the same, wanted 35,000 miles, so nearly double, and they wanted to charge me an extra $75 last-minute booking fee, which Singapore doesn't, so it would have been $80.
Hey, Mark, you know how many times I've flown in a seat that's lie flat on an airline? I'm holding up the zero sign. Zero.
We got to work on that, David.
Mark Orlowski runs the nonprofit Sustainable Endowments Institute, but he also clearly watches his airline miles very closely. Mark, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Malaysia's had it with being treated like a dump, and it's going to return nearly 7 million pounds of plastic garbage to the countries of origin, including the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Saudi Arabia. It's not recyclable plastic. It's low-quality plastic garbage Malaysia's environment minister sees as masquerading as recyclable. Malaysia had been taking in more refuse after China cut off imports of recyclables more than a year ago. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.